Great. So welcome to the Camille Healing Talk. I'm actually very excited because today we have a special guest on the podcast. And for those of you that know, I've been podcasting for some time now, and I don't often invite people on the show unless I know they are holding themselves to a very high degree of integrity spiritually and are operating in deep congruence with what they say they do. So, Jamie, I have been, well, I don't want to say cyber stalking you.
It's okay.
I'm not
You can
taking it
say
that
it.
far, but I have been following you for a couple of years now, and there's such a deep resonance. So when I came across your Instagram page, and for those of you that are listening, we're going to share Jamie's Instagram page at the end of this show. I was like, okay, this is very, very interesting. I really want to get you on the podcast and for you to share so we can hear it from you a little bit more about who you are, what you stand for, what your work is about. And today we're going to be talking about the shadow, the shady Sheilas, as I like to call them. So we're all familiar with shadow work here, and we're going to be diving straight in to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of shadow work, how it helps us, how it can help us, why it's essentially a pathway into divine light, why it can feel like it's a pathway to hell, and what do we do about it if we find that we're getting stuck in that place. And I'm really interested in getting more of a personal understanding of what your journey has been like, Jamie. So I guess that's my first question to you. Firstly, can you just share a little bit about where you're from, what your ancestral history is, what your ancestral background is, like culture-wise? I'm always interested in asking people that question. Tell us how old you are,
Sure.
if you don't mind me asking, and what do you stand for?
So thank you so much, first up, for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited. Like, I'm honored, actually, for the fact you don't have a lot of guests and for the fact that you were cyber stalking me for a couple of years. Cyber stalk away. I have no problem with that. And so I'm honored to be in this space with you. You're putting out such incredible work. And, you like, from what I've seen, you're so great at what you do. So I'm very honored to be in this space. So thank you for having me. I'm very honored. So I'm in Vancouver, BC, Canada. So I am Canadian. I'm in a very similar climate to you, Safia, because I know you're in London. So it basically just rains cats and dogs all the time. I'm 36 years old, and cultural background, I come from, I'm basically just all Irish, Scottish. I'm basically all the pale countries. Basically, just take every single fucking pale country, and that's where I come from. So I wish it was something more. I wish it was something more interesting, like Spanish. Like, God, I would love to have a little Spanish, and I have like more olive skin instead of this like freckled Irish, Scottish, and there's a little bit of English, a little bit of British in there as well. So that's kind of my background. It's a very plain Jane. My great grandparents were Irish, and that's about all I know. I don't really know much more. Good question. What do I stand for? Because I feel like that is kind of changing all the time. I don't know how you feel, but the biggest thing for me, I would say, is me personally, I want to feel things and I want other people to feel things. I want to feel so much, and I want everyone who comes in my orbit to feel the amount they're capable of feeling. And the one thing I think that I've learned about myself just through, I think, witnessing the impact that I have on people, which is maybe through my work and also just through talking through people in personal relationships. As I've come into my power, I've realized that I really activate people. And not to try and be like self-righteous with this, but just own what I feel that what I've brought to the space. There's this activation where I think people feel safe to bring all of themselves, every single last inch of them. And so what I stand for is I want people to be totally liberated and free and feel safe to bring every single last inch of themselves to this lifetime. Because we get one chance at this. I mean, our souls could have many chances, but us physically here in the flesh, we have this one opportunity, and I want people to be able to get out of their own way. Because isn't that the biggest thing, that we're always in our own way? Yeah,
Always,
so
I was saying that earlier today. Everything is ever present, but we're in the way.
always. That's, the body wants to take us to the divine. The body wants to take us to Bethlehem. The body wants to take us to this rising ascension place, but it's about us unconsciously, our programming, our operating system that's like, whoa. I don't know if I trust this divine light. So ultimately, if I could really break it down, what I feel like, you know, what I'm here to do, what I stand for at this point in time, is I want people to get out of the way so they can witness the miracle emerge.
Get out of the way to witness the miracle emerge. The miracle is inside them. They need to get out
completely.
Of the way in order to get inside them, themselves, right?
Completely. It's that simple, that we have this miracle that's trying to take place, this miracle that's trying to transmute. But all of us, you know, because this is why the thing that we're the most afraid of is our power, is our radiant light, is this God, goddess light that we have in us, that we want to give out to the world, that we want to receive back. But we have all these internal unconscious parking brakes that are like, whoa, that's a lot of fucking energy. That's a lot of power. I don't know. The important thing is, I don't know if I'm worthy. Actually, if I'm worthy of experiencing this. So I'm going to block and barricade this process, the process of the divine, from happening, because it doesn't align with my innate core sense of worthiness.
And familiar, and what has been familiar for perhaps a lifetime or many lifetimes and generations, someone's ancestral history. Absolutely. So we're here to talk about shadow work, shadow process, which is so, so critical to spiritual growth. In one sentence, why is shadow work so critical to our spiritual growth?
In one sentence, because the proportion of the shadow work holds the proportion of the light.
Bingo.
And so the depth that we are able to innately know, put it this way, the way that we're able to innately know our darkness, it's like this transmutation process of essentially we are creating space and capacity for them. So the depth in which we venture into the darkness or the shadow, the dark night, whatever you want to call it, we are essentially doing this process where we're going down so then we can hold the light that's coming proportional on the other side. And so the depth that we go, but the problem is what we're going to talk about is that people often get stuck in that process, because I believe the light is the integration. The light is the forward into the new pathway, into the new iteration of our identity. But we have to go down to scrape, which is essentially completing the past. It's essentially coming into a space of reality. So we're in the space of reality where we can create, because that's where we create, is from reality. And we now have the somatic, physiological capacity to hold the divine radiance, the divine light.
Beautiful. Jordan Peterson, move us.
Here we go.
Love it. So I want to invite you to get a bit vulnerable with me.
Let's go.
I'm really curious. In your 36 years, you've done a lot of work on yourself with so many different modalities, from energy healing to somatic integration to plant medicines. And, you know, we've been through so much in our lifetimes. You have, and that's why you've arrived at this place of wisdom and courage to be able to share, you know, this truth so deeply. What has been the hardest shadow work that you've had to do in order to have like a breakthrough and get through into the other side? And how long was that process for you?
Yeah, and it's very top of mind and present, because it's the process that I just went, which in all was probably a 3-year process where I was basically initiated into the divine. And in terms of what the shadow work process was like, it's basically this process of what I see as this spiritual or divine initiation, where essentially everything in the unconscious rises. Everything in the unconscious rises, where it's this massive clearinghouse, absolutely nothing that you can hide from. There's absolutely nothing that you can avoid looking at. Every single aspect that's living in your imprint, whether that's past life stuff, whether that's ancestral material, whether it's your early life, whether it's your attachment trauma, every single piece is coming to the surface. And I just went through a 3-year process. It's not like I'm magically healed and I'm done, but this is this big chunk that would lead me onto this new pathway of my divine incarnation, of my divine identity. But I had to go through a process of having every single coping mechanism brought to the surface, where you can't run from everything. And the experience of what it felt like is having your deepest core fears. brought to the surface. And there was absolutely no memories of anything. It was like this dark blanket that just took over your life and you were buried alive. You were lost at sea. You were in this, you had absolutely no idea what was going on. And I was witnessing the tear of my little boy, the tear of my ancestors, everything amalgamated into this one experience. And I was completely lost in the fucking darkness. I couldn't move because I had spinal compression. I was in the hospital. I was in excruciating nerve pain for 7 months, and I didn't sleep basically a wink for like 3 months because I was in so much pain. My nervous system was shot. I was in hyper arousal, hyper threat, because every single thing in my body was being brought to the surface at the exact same time. Everything.
What triggered that, Jamie? Like, was that how does all of that arise? It sounds like the floodgates opened for you in a very totally intense, real, and somatic way.
Yeah. So one was that I was deep into doing somatic work. So, you know, I have this thing where we create enough safety in our body. And if we are someone who has a spiritual passage or we have spiritual gifts that we're here to bring in this life, then we create enough somatic safety. Our body's going to take us through the process. So that was the first thing that opened up the floodgates, was I started to come home and feel safe in my body. The next thing was that I was going to go to Austin. So I live in Vancouver, BC. I was going to, at the time, go see about a girl that I had this kind of past life kind of contract to fulfill. And I had been called to Austin for about 8 months. My guides were just like, Austin, Austin, Austin. And the night before I was going to go to Austin, I was in the hospital with contracted, like, spinal compression, excruciating pain. I literally thought I was on my deathbed. You know, I was suicidal. I was, couldn't fucking move. I was the main that I'll ever experience in my entire life. And that triggered this whole experience of about a 3-year initiation where I basically had to build my body from the ground up. And it was because Austin was about this process of completing a lot of karma for me. It was this process of fulfilling a really deep spiritual contract. But it was also what Austin represented was the frequency of the higher self, my highest self. And my body was, oh shit, you're not ready. You have all this clearing that you have to do. So my body leveled me, you know. So here's the thing. In order to usually heal in other realms, we have to incapacitate the logical mind. So this is why we have illness. This is why we have injuries, because what our body's doing, it's trying to put us into a place of total incapacitation so that another realm, another process can take over. And so this is often what happens in these initiations. That's why we have chronic illness, these different things that come up. It's all this process. We're going to incapacitate you so that you fully surrender to the death of this transmuting process so the divine can take over. But first we enter the shadow. And so I was totally incapacitated to the point where I couldn't move, which started my process of the initiation. And the thing that started it was A, creating somatic safety in my body. And they're like, Jamie, you have these gifts that you're supposed to bring here, but you have to clear in order to be able to hold your power so that you can bring them. And B, you're beginning to move on this pathway of the higher self, but you got some clearing work. You got some ancestral clearing work because your body's not yet ready to hold that vibration.
Beautiful. What a profound flooring you had to make that space.
It was very acute.
Yeah, very acute. The deeper the purpose, the more you're going to be excavated for it. And sometimes we ask for it because we ask for miracles. We ask for change, healing, transformation. And then when it comes in the form of a clearing and an excavation, and as you say, the word incapacitation, when it comes, we don't like the way it tastes. But we forget. I often have to remind myself, this is what I asked for. I may not have asked for this process, but I asked for the outcome. And this is the process the divine is telling me I have to surrender to. So this is what you went through. When was that?
So this was like, I basically just came out of this last summer. Last August was a turning point. So that was kind of the end of the shadow process of it. And I think the big thing too about that is, okay, we ask for it because we're like, I want to come into my full power in this lifetime. We start to do the healing work. And so what happens is the body is going to pay attention to the conditions that are being created in the body. And if we're someone here who has the capacity for a lot of energy, having capacity for energies, having the capacity for spiritual gifts. And so if for somebody falls into that imprint, the body's like, oh, they get the message. Mm-hmm. We can do this. You're kind of feeding me certain things, creating the conditions internally so that we can now take you here. You want to come into your power? Well, first, I'm going to have to initiate you. And the thing for me with that shadow is it was so helpless. I didn't see a way out. It was like being caught in a nightmare that you had no escape from and there was no way out. But the thing that I've since learned that I now think is the most important thing for people to know is when we're in the tear, when we're in the nightmare, I know it seemed like it right at that moment, but you are in the process of a miracle.
Yeah.
You are in the process of a miracle that's taking place, but that's how it starts. So what you're doing is the shadow is the clearing, is the excavation, the going down under to now be able to hold the radiance. That is the necessary work that your body's bringing you to a place so that you can now clear what is keeping your divine depth with limitations to it. And so it's trying to create that foundation. It's pulling out the rotten root so that the magic tree can be planted, right?
And this is what we need to remember. And this is what I really hope that whoever is listening to this and might be going through a really, really challenging time, remember this, that this is the gateway to the miracle. The pain is a gateway to the medicine. The shadow is a gateway to the light. And we do have to keep reminding ourselves, because our minds are tricksters and they will convince us that we're suffering, convince us that this is unfair and life is not fair and it should be going a different way. And actually, it's going the perfect way when we let it, when we let ourselves stay out of the way and receive. Right, we need to just allow ourselves to do that. And this takes me to my next question, is why do you think that we often stay in the shadow of pain and suffering and the shadow of not being or feeling empowered for so long, for so many years? Why do we stay in the shadow patterns and the, you know, the relationship patterns or the health patterns for sometimes decades?
That's such a big question, and there's so many parts to this. And I think maybe I can lead into this, is this idea where it's really important that we become aware of how we're complicit in our suffering, of how we're complicit in our suffering, because I believe pain is unavoidable. But pain is energetically clean. It's clear. It fucking hurts. But pain's able to move. Suffering is pain that's stuck in stagnation. And so here's the thing, what the shadow iteration, the dark night is trying to do is trying to make us conscious of how unconsciously we are complicit in our cycles, patterns, and loops of suffering. And so the reason why I think we stay so much in shadow is A, one thing, we're just unaware. We're just unaware of what's happening unconsciously, of what's driving the ship unconsciously. So we're in shadow, but we're unaware that we're continually activating the shadow loops and patterns because it's happening below our awareness, because we haven't dove down deep enough, because there hasn't been enough safety that's been generated. So it's all happening below our awareness. So we're like, God, like, why can't I get out of my own way? And it's happening below our awareness, right? So one thing, it could be happening totally unconsciously.
Yeah.
And that just means there's deeper healing work to do. We need to go deeper and we need to create more proportional safety. We can make the unconscious conscious, right? So as we go deeper, we're making our complicit nature in our suffering through our shadow, we're making that conscious, which now gives us an opportunity to form a new pathway, a new identity. Also, shadow is familiar, it's comfortable, and we don't have to expose ourselves. We don't have to be seen. We don't have to ourselves. We have an energetic safety net. We have an out. Oh, I couldn't do this. Well, I felt like shit in my body. But if we feel good in our body, then all of a sudden there's no more outs. We got skin in the game. The light is on us. There's no more hiding. There's nothing more exposing than having yourself witnessed, freed and integrated from your shadow patterns. There's nothing more exposing, because what you're saying is someone who's worthy of having all these beautiful big things, and now I have to hold the responsibility that comes along with it.
There's also nothing more painful than being punished / rejected / abandoned, all those wounds, all those threats that the ego perceives, when you're your most authentic exposed self, as against when you're hiding behind the veneers, right? Then you can kind of say, well, I didn't really give 100% anyway, because I wasn't really being myself anyway. But when you're showing up fully as yourself, and you risk being rejected, punished, sidelined, ignored, and actually you've got a really, really important message to deliver, or you know, you're really being yourself, or you're showing your most creative work.
Completely. And I think the big thing too is like, okay, well, why is it that we can move into the light? And you could break this down into what we're always trying to do sociologically is we're trying to stay close to the pack, to the herd, right? And so what happens when we now move, and this is the process, there is an ancestral severing of a cord that happens when we move into the light. And in the work that I teach, it's now we become our own energetic island, which is now we've severed from the family of origin.
Yes.
We've severed from the family lineage. It's not the point separated. We still are connected, but we're able to now, we're freed up enough to complete our own innate soul mission and purpose in this lifetime. And so when we move into the light, now the attachment to the family of origin, the attachment to the family lineage changes completely. We are our own person, our own space and time, and that is the ultimate level of nervous system exposure. And that's why we can't move to that area until somatically we're ready to hold that. Absolutely. To hold that capacity, that light, that depth of responsibility. And what that also means is that we're in our innate source, masculine, feminine energy. It means we've now built structure for our inner child. One thing we stay stuck in shadow work is we're a feminine divine woman who's living in her protective masculine. We're a masculine man who's still operating in his feminine, or we're still a man at some level of the unconscious with the inner child. And so when we now create the structure to move out of those things, that's another reason. But now the cord has been cut. Now we are, I'm Jamie Ray. I am here in my total power that is in unprecedented depths and levels of my entire lineage.
Beautifully said. I couldn't have put that better myself. I honestly couldn't have. I tried to articulate that by a podcast called What It Means to Be the New Ancestor, and why it's so challenging to step into that space because of that separation. You called it like the cord to the ancestral lineage.
Yeah, yeah.
Separation is very real. When you do that work, you actually can feel the line shifting and you taking your space, your throne, your seat in a completely different vibrational plane. That is not occupied before. It's not occupied by it. And there's a feeling, if you misinterpret that vibration, you can misinterpret that as being and feeling completely alone. And at some level, I've had to say to people, when you do this work, this ancestral healing work and this empowerment, embodiment work, you're going to have to get used to that, tasting that frequency of I am alone here, right? And not see it as separation. It's separation from the level of vibration to do with that ancestry, right? But connection with something deeper. So yeah, there's a separation at an ego level, but there's a connection at a spirit level. So I love the way that you articulated it. You only know your journey, right?
Completely. And so, you know, it is loneliness. It is isolation, but the frequency of that changes. The frequency of that changes. If I could relate it, it's becoming a ship lost at sea to all of a sudden you become a lighthouse. You become a lighthouse for other ships to now find you. So what's happening is you're becoming your own energetic island. You're now emitting your divine so other seekers can now find you. And so that is, and so it takes this total surrendering into the abyss, into emptiness, because walking a path of the divine is perpetually a walk in the path of the unknown. It's the complete frequency of the unknown. But the thing is, you have such sovereignty and self-trust through your own vessel that it doesn't actually feel like you're alone. It feels like you're more found than ever. Ever before, even though you are in this empty void. But the energetics of the empty void have changed through you. That is the truth.
That is the truth.
Yeah.
I want to just, whoever is listening to this, take a moment and edit this up. If you ever feel like you're going through the deepest initiation of your life and you're like, I am so alone. Like, I have separated so far from the vibration of my ancestors, my family. I am in this place. I don't even know who I am anymore. Please listen to this twice and remember, like, you're here. You are here to be your own unique vibration. Be that lighthouse. Keep shining. Don't look back at the groups of people or the ways of life that you used to embody and that you used to find normal or comfortable and think because that doesn't resonate with you anymore, you're not doing that anymore, or you've moved away from that, there's something wrong with you. Yeah, you've moved on, you've evolved yourself, and there is part of evolution calls us to be in solitude, to call in our new tribe, right?
The thing I was just going to say to that too, that I think is really important, is, you know, for anyone listening, that idea of like, okay, because what we're afraid of is the abyss or the void. And so what is the abyss or the void? The abyss or the void is that we don't understand our value anymore, because our survival identity, the identity more of the egoic part of us that was created, the imprint of our ancestors, that part of us is dying, right? That part of us is dying. That's what the shadow process is. Can you love yourself at your absolute worst? Can you meet yourself in the whore and the tear? And can you see what you see there and have that be enough? Have that be okay? And that's what happens. That's where you become untouchable, because you've seen yourself there. And that's where the rising begins to happen, because you've met kind of the absolute depth core bottom of your imprint of you. You've seen your nervous system, your physiology in your horror. You've witnessed the terror of your ancestors move through you, and you've witnessed that. And that is when you're like the most lost at sea.
Yeah.
And then from there you rise. From that space you rise. And that is where you create this finding yourself in the dark. It really is about finding yourself in the dark, but that's what the shadow process is doing, is getting to the point where it's, you're ready. You're ready to move into the light. You've seen yourself here. Now you're ready to become a lighthouse.
Absolutely. And it is meeting those monsters within, and the horror and the terror. And, you know, we're talking about quite extreme states, because we're talking about extreme states of light and divinity. So we must talk about extreme states of shadow. When you start doing this deep, deep healing work, you will be shown monstrous things, like what you talked about that you went through, spending 3 months not sleeping and 7-8 months in excruciating pain in your spine is a huge, huge thing to go through at all levels, right? That can completely rewire your brain, that level of pain. And these extremities that we experience are, when we call in a higher path, often very, very necessary. And that meeting of that grotesque shadow that we never want to share with anyone, and we never want to, it's a meeting. It's not a indulging. This is one thing I've noticed. You know, I've been taken very deep into shadow states, and shadow states that I wouldn't even, you know, want to put words on, because they've been so horrific. That I've had to see alone within myself. And I have noticed that there's a benevolence that's offered, which is, if you just meet this, you just go there and just accept it, and just don't try to do too much. Don't judge it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to make this into something it's not. Just see if you can meet yourself there. Kindly, you rise. You rise. It's the way you did it with your body was really, it kind of gestured how it feels when you rise from that place. And that's been my experience as well. You don't have to go into the shadow necessarily to these deep, deep, dark states and start doing too much. Just have to just observe and accept that this is a vibrational state that you can choose to belong to, or you can see it, understand it, feel it, and then go, okay, it didn't destroy me. Can I love myself here? A little bit, and then you rise a little bit. Can I love myself here a little bit more?
Yeah,
maybe it's possible. Do a little bit more, and a little bit more. Until that shadow state no longer terrifies you. That demon within, that monster within you, is not something that you avoid or suppress. And for a lot of people, that monster is the monster rage, right? Never want to go anywhere near their rage, not knowing it's the sacred rage, it's their life force energy that they're suppressing, and their authentic expression and passion that they're suppressing while they try to be the nice girl or the nice boy.
I love what you said there. And, you know, rage is either the energetics of destruction or construction. Rage is how we construct everything. That's how we build everything. I love what you said too about how we don't have to do too much, because I think the important thing with shadow, with, you know, witnessing ourselves there, it really is an invitation. And what I learned from my experience with shadow is it's an invitation that you're ready. God is not going to give us anything that we can't handle. And so this is here because you're ready. And so what happens is that there is an unconscious reveal in the body because you're now ready to integrate what wasn't integrated in your past. So now the body is bringing this unconscious revelation of this horror and this tear. So it actually can be moved through your body to the divine. It's actually it's bringing the unconscious to the surface, revealing the blocks and the barriers to the divine. So it's this divine opportunity or invitation where now God or the divine is aligning your body with the revelation of all this, because you're ready at this point in time to now integrate, to process, to excavate these things, because you've done enough good work to bring yourself to this point where this revelation is even able to happen in the first place. It doesn't feel like it at the time, but it is a gift. It really is a gift, because it is revealing what needs to be through in order for you to move into the incarnation of yourself that you've always wanted.
Do you have a mantra that you might be able to share with us? And the reason why I'm asking is because when we're in that place, we often need to remember this. Can you share with us a small, short mantra that we can say when we're in this state to remember that we're strong enough to do this, but something that's not as cheesy as I'm strong enough to do this?
You know, I definitely don't have a personal mantra, but the thing that's coming up for me, like when you asked this question, what experience was coming up in my body? And so what was coming up in my space was this idea: when I was in absolute hell with my body, what would happen was I would experience crazy physical symptoms. Like, you know, the hair in my beard would fall out, just excruciating pain, just things were going numb, things were tingling, just every single symptom. I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought I was having a stroke. I thought I was paralyzed, like just all these symptoms. And when I was really in it, what that did was it just fueled more panic, right? It fueled more fight or flight, which created this cycle. Now I still get these symptoms. My left arm goes numb and I'm like, oh, like something's working through my arm. And I have this level of that all of a sudden, like I can't feel my dick or something, like straight up. And I'm just like, oh, it's probably my sacral chakra integrating. I couldn't run for 2 months because my hip. And I was like, oh, it's probably just like some like divine masculine integration sacral chakra for my ancestors. That's exactly what it was. And so I experienced like still this wide range of like crazy symptoms. But I have this idea of like this trust in what is happening, where it's like, I'm the type of person who experienced a million symptoms and I won't go to the doctor because I'm like, oh, it's just like emotional or energetic now. And I was a former hypochondriac. I was a former hypochondriac that freaked out at every symptom. But now I like, you know, have these weird symptoms and I trust. So I guess I don't know if I have a mantra, but it's this idea of understanding that your body is trying to take you through this process that really is a miracle, that your body is an incredible healing organism that is trying to work for you. It's your body knows what to do. Yeah. Our body knows what to do. And the thing is, we spend so much time in fear when we allow this process to work and take form, then we're able to the divine process happening. And actually, I did think of something as I was talking about that. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out.
Very, very important one, actually. Very.
Anytime. Yes. Anytime I'm in my head trying to piece the pieces together, Jamie, shut up. Jamie, shut up. Jamie, come back to your body.
Yeah.
Stop trying to figure it out. What's going to happen? Everything, it's all going to continue when you're trying to figure it out with your mind. All the shadow loops, you are going to suffer as long as you're trying to figure it out. You are going to suffer as long as you're trying to figure it out because there's a different type of transmission that's trying to take place. This is not a cerebral, oh, I can pin the dots together. What is happening? Surrender all knowing. You will find out when you least expect it. You will know when you're supposed to know. So stop trying to figure it out. As long as you're trying to figure it out, you haven't learned the lesson that the divine is trying to teach you.
True. Especially when these initiations start coming, when you're later down in the healing journey, where it's not, you know, you're physically, you know, and structurally you're sound, and you are having these energetic initiations where you can feel at a deep level, but if someone were to look at you, they'd be like, there's absolutely nothing happening to you. And you're like, actually, the whole field has just turned into a tornado right now. When you're in that space, right, it's absolutely true. Every time you interject with your mind and go, oh, what is that? What is happening right now? And what does that mean? And why is that happening right now like that and not like that? And is there anything I can do about it? Actually, you're adding mental density into a very divine process. And you're slowing it down. When what I find most beneficial is to lie down, get into a deep meditative state where you're underneath the movement, and you say surrender and observe and accept in the same stream. So with every observation, you're accepting. So you're integrating everything as it's happening. You observe and accept. You observe and accept. You don't need to understand. But you're observing and accepting. This is happening to me. I trust that this is happening for my highest benefit. And when you do that, suddenly you're like, does the glory ever end? Because the divine is like, oh, you accept. You're willing to receive. Let's go. Light, show. And then you just lie back. And soon the torment turns to glory. And you're going, does this love ever end? And the pain is now turned into deep purpose. And somehow, not mind, somehow you know why this is happening for you. For you, not to you.
Right. That's the same thing as shadow to light. That's the same thing as turning shadow to light. It's the transmutation process that's taking place. And what happens in that space is we become totally okay with change. We become able to pivot and move with life in such a powerful way, because we always understand that life is working for us. Life is always working for us if we get out of our way. It doesn't mean we don't experience pain, but it means that we're no complicit in the suffering. We experience pain, but it's able to move. It's why people are always looking for spiritual meaning and everything. I think to live a spiritual life, stop looking for the spiritual meaning. Stop looking for the spiritual meaning. The meaning will find you. The meaning will find us. Yeah, I'm always an advocate. Anytime I'm trying to find, that is kind of my mantra. Anytime I'm trying to find the spiritual meaning, stop trying to find the spiritual meaning, Jane. I don't try to conceptually ever think about the spiritual meanings in anything, because I always know. Now it becomes this, I can become a vessel for the meaning. I can become a vessel for the meaning. It's the same thing as making art. When I'm writing and making, I don't know how these things find me. But when I get my mind, or I stop trying to conceptualize the spiritual experience, what I'm now doing is I'm now playing another role in getting out of the way of the divine. I'm playing another role in getting out of the way of the divine. And I'm receptive to a message for my vessel to now get the message in this perfect kind of orchestration of when I'm ready to get the message. That's, we're ready to get the messages when we're ready to get the messages. And people are always trying to get messages before they're ready to get them. And that's the magical orchestration of healing, is that everything will align in your system, your body, your vessel, when you're ready to receive. And when we're in the mind, we're restricting the process of reception. We're restricting the process. That's why people suffer, because they're here trying to figure it out. What they're trying to do is they're trying to extort a sense of safety and control.
Yes.
When we get our mind out of the way, they're saying, I surrender all control. I surrender all knowing, because I know that I already innately know somewhere. And when I get out of that process, I'm going to allow another sort of transmission to take place even below my awareness.
That's very powerful. And what's coming up as you do that, has that changed your level? Has that changed how patient you are as a person?
It's completely transformed it. It's completely transformed my capacity to be present, my capacity to be patient. The most notable change is how I respond to change. Like, I respond to change, I'm like, all right, I'm so adaptable to change. And I find that it has this difference in my ability to kind of go through life, like to move with life, because I'm trusting that there's something breaking through in me for my highest good, and I'm not trying to figure it out, and I'm not depleting myself energetically. I'm not exhausting myself, because it's so exhausting trying to figure it out. And it's completely allowed, as you say, me to be patient and to just be more anchored in my body and be like, okay, and to welcome confusion, actively welcome. I'm confused right now.
That's a big one. I'm not sure I'm there yet. With welcoming confusion, I'm very much a lover of clarity. You probably got that gist already. Maybe that's an edge that I should explore a little bit more. Welcoming confusion. It's a really
Because
lesson in humility, isn't it? Like, if we can be confused, then that means we don't need to know it all.
Well, you know, and I think the valuable thing there is, if we're welcoming confusion, what's happening, again, there's egos being severed a little bit more, and we're being humbled, and we're moving into more of a space of humility that we don't really know. And what's happening in that space is we're up-leveling consciousness. Our consciousness is now yet expanding, because confusion is always the precursor to clarity. Confusion is always the precursor to deeper, more profound clarity. If we don't welcome confusion, what's happening is clarity can be more of, I need to be in control. I need to know. But when we're welcoming confusion actively in the process of being receptive to confusion, we're allowing a deeper process of clarity to emerge.
Very creative. I'm thinking back as you're talking. I'm seeing all my creative processes and inflections where I've had to, you know, make some really big decisions, or I've wanted to create something really big. Usually it's I've wanted to create something really big, like a big change, my life, my business, and it's required me to stay in this messy middle of confusion, and I don't like it, and I want to get all these spreadsheets out, and I want to know, and I want to calculate, and I want to figure out the path, and I want probabilities, and it's never really easy. But the confusion doesn't last forever. It may last a few weeks or a few months, and then you do come into clarity. But what you're suggesting is that there's a higher value if you can stay with the confusion. And what do you do when you feel the confusion? What, feel into the vibration of confusion? Take me through the step-by-step process for people who are going through transitions in their life, right? Maybe it's their business, maybe it's their relationship. Do you stay or do you go, right? Maybe it's their job. Do you stay or do you go? Right? Whatever it is, maybe we want to build a house. Do I do it this year? Do I do it next year? When you have confusion that arises, what's the step-by-step process to actually stay with it and not start trying to sort through the jumble?
Yeah, and the overarching theme of this, as you were talking, so that is what I view living a spiritual divine life. You are making art with your body. You are an artist of the energetic body. That is how I view living a spiritual life, because I'm an artist, I'm a writer, I'm a creator. And so the process of when I'm there writing, you know, when I'm kind of surrendering control, the ideas are coming to me, right? I'm more in a state of flow. And so the same thing with these divine loads. The clarity comes when all of a sudden I'm engaged with life and I'm like, oh shit, that's why my right hip was bugging me. This is attachment now, my right hip. That's why that relationship wasn't right. It all comes to me when I'm out of the way of trying to figure it out, because there's another process trying to happen. So I'm in the role, I'm an artist of life. And my soul, my body, my energy is the canvas. I'm painting. I'm creating, because being a spiritual life is the perpetual nonstop process of being the creator. You're perpetually using the paintbrush to create on a canvas that has never existed before. And so you have to treat your experience as you are this energetic human artist that is perpetually painting in the unknown. And so that's the way that I kind of see it. So talk about confusion. You know, the only thing I really have to say to that is we have to claim the confusion. Claim your confusion. I don't fucking know. I don't know. I don't know, and that's okay. I don't know, and that's okay. Because again, what's happening there is we're actually exposing ourselves. We're exposing ourselves, being like, I don't know. We're being humbled. We're putting our space into an air of humility. But exposure is so important, right? Because if we're trying to hide the fact that we don't know, then we're hiding an aspect of ourselves, which means that we're not allowing the process to fully take place. So when we're constantly exposing the most authentic nature of what we are and what's happening moment to moment, we are now giving the full depth of our unconscious. We're bringing it up and being like, this is me here right now. I don't know. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And so now we're giving the process its opportunity to move. But if we're trying to conceal the fact that we're confused, then we're all of a sudden saying that it's not okay for me not to know. It's not okay for me to be confused. And what happens is we're restricting the flow of the divine. We're restricting the flow of the miracle to take place.
There we have you listening to this podcast. 100%. Okay, this is beautiful. I can certainly relate this to my own process. You know, personally, professionally, this is wonderful stuff. I'm so happy that you're here sharing this so articulately as well, and to allow us to put it all into action. Do you think that we can become addicted to shadow work and to all of the spiritual healing?
1,000%. And I think a lot of people do, because, you know, I think, okay, addicted to shadow work, addicted to healing, like it can be, you know, I'm not saying for everyone, but this kind of self-righteous error that I'm doing the work, right? And the question to ask yourself is, am I doing the work, or am I continually creating more work for me to do? Because again, what happens is the light is the integration. Like, what are we doing this all for if it's not for more joy, more capacity for light, if it's not more capacity for presence? What are we doing? And so I think it can move into that air of doing the work does fulfill. Other addictions can merge now into this addiction of I'm constantly developing myself, which can be this its own kind of ego too, right? When actually what happens when we step into the light, now we're saying, this is me. What we're actually doing is we're actually showing our innocence. I kind of see the light as like childlike innocence. Like, I have this theory that God are babies. Like, God are babies, you know, a baby just this purity. So we're always trying to get back to like capture some depth of that essence. And that's when we move into the light. That's when a woman is in her divine feminine. She's radiating, she's glowing. You know, it's like, what's going on with you? And she's kind of the essence of like a newborn baby. Like, I know that's kind of weird, but like, she's got that kind of glow, that angel-like, goddess, god-like glow to her. And so I think people do get addicted to it, because moving into the light is all of a sudden we're allowing that innocence to be seen. All of a sudden we're not energetically dense. We're energetically light. And people in that space are like, what do I do here?
Yeah.
What do I do here? And the thing that we do there is we become the gift. Now we move into a divine exchange with the universe. I'm going to give you my gift. I'm going to receive the gift in return. That's when we're healing the collective consciousness, and we're also receiving abundance back from the universe at large.
We're worthy by going out living life instead of staying in the shell, in the cave, as I have done for a certain number of years, definitely, and sitting on healing, healing, healing all the time. When we go out there in the world, it is vulnerable, because we are going out and saying, okay, you know what, I deserve to live life. And you're taking a risk that life is going to treat you differently to the way it treated you before you had done the healing work. And if you don't quite trust it, it's really easy to retreat back into the cycle of healing again, healing again. And when you come from that over-functioning, you know, feminine background like I do, it's become natural instinct. Just do more healing work, do more healing work. And I hear that a lot from women, where they're like, I do so much healing work and I just don't know if I'm even living my life anymore. Because my life has become shadow work, right? And I think it takes a lot of bravery, actually, to re-emerge into the world and go, you know what? I'm ready to start living again and being alive again, and not constantly seeing that I have to heal, I have something to purge, I have something to, you know, to work on and analyze, like you said, it's something to understand or try and make these connections. And actually, I can just go and lie in the sun and enjoy life and feel it and not think about anything, you know? And that's so good. That's healing for us, ironically, right? To be able to do that is healing.
Completely. Like, I want to create a program at some point called Fuck Healing, Start Living. And it's for people who are trying to get out of healing, but it's kind of like they're trying to, like, you know, come down off a drug or something. So they're trying to, like, you know, titrate off a drug or something. And so it's kind of the call to living. Like, let's go look for some nipples, you know, like whatever, like let's go do something fun. So it's about, how do we actually live when we become addicted to healing? And I think the most important thing that you said there that I picked out, it was so great, everything you said, but that when we move into the light, what we're now saying to other people, to the world at large, is I am worthy. We're actually making a declaration that I'm worthy. And we stay in the shadow for so many reasons. One, we have to forgive. We have to forgive our past in many ways to move into the light, because we have to let go of the past. We have to let go of the past in many ways to move into the light, because the light is, we are now the creator. Means we're in reality. Shadow work is essential, but it can come another way, where we continue to inflame the cycles, patterns of our karma and our trauma, in a way that we continue to exasperate and continue to move through the things that we can't actually let go of. These pieces that we can't actually let go of. Because the light is the ultimate letting go. It's the ultimate letting go. I'm moving into my light, which means I'm letting go of maybe some of the people that we need. I'm letting go of the things that I never received and I needed. We're letting go of the past. We're becoming complete with the past. So when people are addicted to shadow work, in many ways, what's happening is their body is holding on to the past.
That's so true. 100%. This is deep. I remember re-emerging into the world after very, very many intense years of healing and keeping myself to myself, and feeling like I was a newborn baby taking these steps out into the civilized world, and almost feeling like, should I be doing this? Is this right? Am I right here? Like, and it was actually quite like there was some shame there around joyfully and in my abundance and in my gratitude, in my light. There was shame around me in my life. And I was thinking, I kind of could feel like my body retreating back and go back to the cave and go find some inner work. And then I'm like, actually, no, like, this is the work, living, being alongside other people, sharing your voice, sharing your cooking, whatever it is, you know, forming new friendships, new connections, collaborating. Like, this is work.
Because what it's doing, it's also making the admission that your life is never going to be the same. When you move into the light after the dark night, you're making the admission that it's never going to be the same. And so I think what happens, as you say, it's like a deer learning to walk or a newborn baby, because what's happening is we don't feel those cords attached to us. We don't feel those cords, and we're like, whoa, I feel kind of free. Like I feel kind of like unbound. I feel kind of tethered. Who am I to feel this way? Do I deserve to feel this way? Is this safe? Am I okay to feel like this? Like, I don't feel like I have these cords tied into the past. Like, I feel like, am I worthy of this? Do I deserve this? Like, what are other people going to think of me? Because what's happening is now we're kind of like, all of a sudden we've had all these cords attached to us that we've now released. And we're in this total state of presence and freedom and like, oh my God, I feel so myself. And all of a sudden, as we've removed the ceiling, the big thing, we've removed the energetic ceiling on what's possible for our life. And that's a little unnerving for the system at first, because it's like, whoa, I don't feel the box of survival. I don't feel the box of being contained to my ancestors, my family of origin. I feel untethered. I feel unbound. I feel unprecedented. I feel like I can go anywhere. I can. The sky is the limit, because we're in a space of potential. The divine is infinite. When we move into the divine, now we're moving into a space where it's infinite in nature. Anything is possible. And I think it's very unnerving and kind of alarming a little bit to the system to feel that space, because it's so wide open, it's so unrestricted, and it's so free, and we're so used to having it the other way for so long.
Yes, we are so used to the box, the boxes.
Yeah.
We are, and we don't even, you know, if you say to anyone, are you still living in your box? They'd say, what are you talking about? What box? But they don't even know
they're living in a box.
No, they're living in a box. So we have these boxes so at so many deep, unconscious, subtle levels. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes don't even feel like boxes until we break out of them. Absolutely. This is rich, rich, rich food for thought.
Mm.
For the heart, for the soul. Amazing. Amazing. Do you feel like that right now? Do you feel untethered, free, and open to the unlimited potential that's available?
I do. I do. And, you know, so I'm just trying to tune into my body. And so what that feels like, what it feels like somatically for me is, so I consider the crown to be total allowance, right? The crown is total allowance, total abundance, total. When the crown opens, the ceiling on your potential has now been removed. So when the crown opens, the potential is divine, right? So it means you can go as high as you want. But that's working in coordination with my feet being firmly on the ground with the root. So it's like the energy of this. We're moving in both directions. And so it feels like bright energy. It feels expansive. It feels like you're going to be able to do something that has always been elusive to you. I actually feel capable. The things, the karmic areas of my life that have been elusive, I feel like the frequency that I'm now inhabiting in my body, that I actually have the capacity and the capability somatically to now hold the possibility of those karmic areas now being shifted and course corrected.
You're a writer and an orator, because every single word is perfectly placed to describe that vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. 100%. And I really hope that everybody who's listening to this gets to experience this in their own life. That new openness, that possibility, that space, that wonder, that light. Because they say the light is at the end of the tunnel. And it really, really is. That light is always there for us. Whether we're, however deep we're doing the shadow work or not doing the shadow work, the light is always there.
Yeah.
Remember to live. There's something about, you used the word participate, and I had a big lesson in participating in life. We must also learn to participate in life.
Mm-hmm.
To heal and to grow. And to be willing to participate in life is a whole spectrum of what you said right at the beginning of this podcast, what you stand for. Feeling, right?
I love it. It's interesting. So the nuance of what you said there, I want to speak to that for a second, because you said the idea of participate. And so I'm relating that to what we were talking about. But in a way, the perpetual shadow can be a way that we're not participating.
Yeah.
The light is where we participate. And the reason being, two separate pathways in the body. We have a pathway of stagnation. With what is stagnation? I would say stagnation is ultimately a fear pathway, right? And then we have the pathway of movement, which is ultimately a pathway of love. And we are engaged we are participating in our own life when we are an active participant in the pathway of movement in our body, which is the pathway of the new identity, which is the pathway of the light. And so we can get so used to not participating, which the shadow can be another way that we don't actively participate. And a way that we're actively, energetically not participating in our life, which makes us suffer because we feel ourselves not participating. But when we feel ourselves on this pathway of movement, we actively feel engaged, which feels like things are happening, builds up our confidence, which builds up our self-esteem.
Yeah.
And we feel that we're in our power. And when we feel that we're in our power, guess what happens? We can be totally present.
Absolutely. And it humbles us, because when you actually are in an active participation and movement with life, you are, by virtue of the nature of the reality, you are going to make a few mistakes along the way. Nothing is going to be completely smooth sailing unless you're on a really boring path, right? So you're out in the wilderness, and that's going to test you, and that's going to evoke you, and that's going to, you know, you're going to get your feet wet, you're going to get your hands dirty at some point, and it's going to be also beautiful, and you're going to experience miracles. And that whole journey is very humbling as well. Being really alive in our life. And I think, you know, it takes a new meaning when we really think about it in the deep end. What does it mean to be participating in our life and be alive in our life and be in our light rather than stuck in the shadow, stagnant, as you put it, not moving and thinking that we're doing healing work when actually we're just in the swamp, right?
Like, completely. I love what you said there, alive in your light, alive in your light. Because it is the same thing. Those things do feel synonymous to me. Alive in your life and alive in your light. You know, when we're alive in our, it really, alive in our light is about being on a pathway of movement. That's what it means. We're in the internal pathway of movement. Because what makes us feel better than anything? When things are moving. The frequency of movement is the frequency of joy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Say that again.
The frequency of movement is the frequency of joy.
What is your favorite movement in the entire world?
I'm obsessed. I'm a long distance runner. I love running, but I also love ecstatic dancing. Every time I go, is that what you meant? Like running or like, yeah.
Like anything.
Yeah. Like anytime I go running, I'm basically going through like an ayahuasca ceremony because the amount of energy that's downloaded, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, like I feel it in my asshole. I feel it in my cock. I feel it in my crown of my head, everywhere. So running I love to do because it's just opening your channel. It's opening everything. And so it's all about like figuring out like what are some of these very practical things that put you in a space of movement? What puts your system in a space of movement? Like for me, like, you know, movement, exercise, I mean, sex is another massive thing. You know what I mean? That opens up the channel. Also in a pathway. So I always say the pathway, the building the will of the divine is the pathway of delayed gratification. So discipline and delayed gratification, those are so important because what happens is instant gratification, what we're doing is we're restricting the flow of the divine at the same time because we're looking for that quick little dopamine hit, that quick little dopamine hit. But when we're in the building the will of the divine with delayed gratification, we're allowing the divine process to take place. So be very weary of things that make you feel good really quickly when it's the divine, because those things, those investments. And so, you know, I relate movement, sex as a part of it, but obviously you're not fucking having sex all the time, but like, and then discipline and delayed gratification, you know, working on things that are meaningful to you. That's when I always feel there's the most movement happening in my body. When I'm engaging things that I know are not paying off right away.
Same. Wow, we're like the same person. I really say that, especially on discipline, is such a massive, massive part of experiencing the divine. And people don't want to hear it because they're like, well, it's the divine light. We should be able to have whatever we want, whenever we want it, abundance everywhere. Take it now. I want it now and I want more later. And it's like, actually, you're missing the trick. The delayed education is such a sacred journey and sacred process. It's like you're churning and the churning is going to create the richest cream when you're really ready to eat it. And I experienced a lot of this when I started my practice. My whole mentality and approach to building my business was delayed gratification.
Mm.
Everything I did was for the long game. For 3 years, I didn't go on holiday. I didn't really eat out in restaurants. I put everything, all my energy, all my time, all my money into my business. I wrote 200 blog articles. Didn't know if anyone was going to read them. I wrote them to express myself, my truth, my experience, what I was experiencing with my client work.
Right.
Miracles of healing, like what's actually possible.
Yeah.
Delayed gratification. I wasn't expecting a reward. And I had this ethos, and I don't know where it came from, but I just knew one day the fact I've delayed my gratification and I've kept pouring in, it's going to pay off in such a big way one day. It's going to be beyond my wildest dreams. I'm not attached to that. And it has.
And, you know, that is the process of dancing with God. That is the process of dancing with God, because what's happened, not attached to the outcomes. We're not attached to the praise or the validation, but we are totally submerged in the process. And so what happens when you build up a tolerance for delayed gratification is now the ego doesn't need anything. We're engaged totally with essence.
Yes,
we're engaged. We're engaged.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're engaged completely with essence. And so that's where the divine responds to us in that
sense. Yes.
Because now we're just engaged with the process. It's the difference between, you know, I'm doing something because I want this quick hit of validation, or I'm going to go and write this book that's going to take me 2 years to write. And the end is so far in sight, but I'm literally gifting. I'm gifting my energy in this process of writing this book. So you're actively in the process of being an energetic gift to something, because you're gifting your energy in this space, and you don't need it. You don't need anything. That is a divine process. That is the process where divine energy can now move inside of you. But when we need the thing that makes us feel good right away, the divine's like, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. You don't get it. You're blocking the flow. You're not allowing me to come through. So that's why when people are like, I feel like shit. Well, it's like, what is your discipline to engage in things that don't pay off at all, maybe way down the road, if ever, that is about bringing soul gift to the world, your unique soul gift to the world? When we engage in that process, our life is going to transform without us even knowing that it's transformed, because we're so deep in the process.
Absolutely. And I see that through your writing. As you know, I really, really see you do that through your writing, because what you share is so deep and so advanced. You're not sharing it for the accolade, because to be honest, whoosh, I learned that saying just quite recently. It's going to go over people's heads, many people's heads, right? But for those already, it's going to land so deep in the heart. But the way that you're sharing this work is with that discipline, because you're in the process. And I just so value that. I really, really value it. I mean, I remember, and I still do, spending hours and hours and days pouring over a blog post and being terrified to write the truth of what my message was. I wrote a blog post on this site saying bodies holding childhood sexual abuse imprints. I was terrified to put down everything.
Right.
And I was terrified to publish it. And I didn't know where I was going with it, except I knew that this is real. Everything I'm writing in this is real. I ended up writing, and it's like over 150, nearly 200 items of indicators, bodies holding childhood sexual abuse, put it all in a blog post. And I said, you know what, if I'm going to get arrested or blasted for publishing this online, so be it. But if it helps one person in this world to know for sure that they're not crazy, that this is a real thing, that somatic symptoms are real, I put it out there. And honestly, since then, it's had like maybe more than 6,000, 7,000 people have read it or view, and I've had so many people just write to me from all around the world and say, I resonate with absolutely everything on that list. I've searched for years to try to find why I feel the way I feel. And I think, wow, What place was I in when I wrote that? I was in a place, I was in the process of delayed gratitude. I wasn't like, let me publish a blog post so clients can contact me. I was in a process of, let me share what is uncomfortable to talk about, but it's so real and so important. And let me be in the process, the excruciating process of writing it and putting it out there, putting my balls on the line, so to speak, by taking a risk. And it's been incredible. That's my most profitable blog post so far. That blog post is worth to my business tens of thousands of pounds. And to other people's lives, has changed their life because of the work that they've come in and done as a result of that. And if we write from that place, if we write with delayed gratification and with discipline, I really believe we can change the world.
Completely. And first off, it's incredible that you wrote that, and you know, people responded to that, and that you had the courage to put that out. That's amazing that you're able to do that. I'll have to read that at some point. Be willing to die for the truth. Be willing to die for the truth. Care more about impact than popularity, because I think so many people care more about, you know, reaching, being for everyone. They're so worried about being for everyone, and when we're worried about being for everyone, our impact that we create is so surface, it's so minimal. But when we just totally respond from what's alive within us, then we're more concerned with impact. I want to impact people, right? I don't care if it's just like one or two people, but I want the depth of impact that I create to be life altering, soul shattering, you know?
Absolutely. I always say, and I always say that to my students, I say, when you're building your practice, your healing practice, you're making a big statement. You're putting a big imprint out there in the fabric of the universe, right? About what you're doing, who you are, how you relate to this work, and therefore the people you're calling in. If you call in one person or 10 people in a year, resentful and disgruntled, and you're like, oh, it's not enough, oh, blah, blah, blah. You're missing the point that you've set up a healing practice. You're selling, you're selling divine transformation. You're not selling shoes. So one person is an entire universe. If you can't find the entire universe in that one person and take them into that depth, why do you need more? Why do you need more clients? See what I mean? Every single person is an entire universe. Are you taking them to the depths that they can go to? Your approach and your modality. And the people that aren't are the ones that are struggling to find enough clients. Because they don't see each individual client as a miracle. Each individual human is that miracle that can go on that miraculous healing journey. I believe that.
Completely, and change everyone else, like change the be this ripple in the collective. And I think, you know, speaking of that idea again of delayed gratification, you know, when you're initiating the divine, it is a process of delayed gratification, because what happens is you see people creating, doing things all the time, and you're going through this process where maybe you're rendered incapacitated for a period of time. And what's happening is you're going through this process of trying to be able to hold the reality that you're stepping into. And in order to be able to hold the potency of that reality you're stepping into, it takes a lot of clearing. It takes a lot of patience to be able to go through that process in order to have that type of impact, in order to be that potent. You know, you could go and write another self-development book. Who needs another self-development book, right? Just another one with, you know, 20 steps, you know what I mean? Where with someone who did just enough work on themselves to be able to write that book. But then there's someone who's been initiated, incapacitated, unable to move, that was patient through this process, that was able to be brought to the debt in them, and they were patient and they waited until they were ready. And then they created that book. That book's probably going to change the world. That's the type of book that's probably going to be transcribed into 25 different languages and probably be put into institutions, and to be this type of book that people are going to read, and it's going to alter their life when they read that book. But that required delayed gratification in order to move into our potency, in order to move into our absolute divine potency. We had to walk a path of delayed gratification, but we want that quick hit. We want it right away. We want it now. We want to appeal to everyone.
And that's the shadow. And if we're really honest with ourselves, if we find ourselves in this place where we're trying to rush something and we're like, oh, I want it now, I really believe I deserve it now, it should be happening for me right now. When I find myself in that mindset, I always go, inside and try to examine a little bit about what the shadow is it trying to in. And then I often find myself coming to this place where I'm like, a place of real self-honesty, where I end up saying, actually, the truth is, I'm not ready right now. I don't have it right now. I'm not solid in that space vibrationally, which is why I don't have it. I still have a little bit of a little few jaggedy edges, a few uncertainties, a few places of, no, I'm not really sure I actually really even want to dedicate that much time to that thing that I said I want to do full time. Do you know what I mean? If we're honest with ourselves, what do we really want, what we're asking for? Have we really felt into what the lifestyle feels like? And do we actually want it? I think sometimes we want something without really feeling into it. And the shadow leads us into feeling rejected or lack, or, you know, it's not happening fast enough for me, or leads us into comparison. Really, within ourselves, we haven't got the solid conviction from a somatic perspective that that's for
us.
Yeah.
I love what you say there, because when we're on this path, right, like the path that we're on and so many people, it is a path of the divine is going to make you be 1,000% honest, meaning you have to do it wholly embodied. You know, so some people, if they don't have a divine calling, they can do abundance when they're out of integrity. They can. That's not their path. But when you are on this path of being called in a divine embodiment, what's going to come into your field is going to be proportional to what you can hold. It is going to work in this total symbiotic fashion of total integrity and total honesty. You can't get away with anything. That is the divine path. And so you want all these things, and to your point where I'm not ready for it yet, we're ready for it yet. It would be there. If you were ready for it, you would have it. You would. And so we have to trust that the universe is going to make us be completely honest with it. So we're in this total, wholly embodied integrity relationship with the universe, where we're going to exchange this angel integrity, external, matching the internal. But the thing is also, internally, it's going to show up before it's reflected externally. We're going to be able to feel the energetics of what's coming before it comes, but it's still going to take a bit of time. But we're on this pathway of total truth, and we can't escape it. And so we have to trust that what's going to come to us is going to align with what the universe knows we're able to hold.
Absolutely. And we also need to be willing to adapt, as you call it, our dreams and goals and expectations, because the divine knows whether it's good for us long term, you know, whether it's going to be something that brings us closer and deeper into who we truly are, or whether maybe it's going to be a temporary experience of pleasure or joy or abundance, but then long term, maybe it leaves a gaping hole, or it disconnects us from what we truly want to do. You know, like perhaps an artist that really wants to sell their art and become famous and make lots of money because they're tired of being apprentice, but then by the time they start exhibiting and selling their art, they realize that actually it's a really commercial market and their creativity is being compromised because they're selling, you know, a different energy, and but yet that's what they asked for. But now, you know, do you see where I'm going with that? So
we've
got to adapt as well. We've got to be willing to adapt, that maybe the dreams that we have for ourselves need to be reevaluated every few years.
And that's the battle with the ego, right? So the ego very much intervenes and you know, has this idea, it creates this image, and it's all, maybe it's not what you want, but it's what you need, right? And you have to, I think that's what the process is of the divine, is surrendering the ego in the process of like, what is my body and what is the energy of the divine trying to speak to me? What is it trying to speak to me? I think the energy of where we get will be as abundant as what we feel. But what the image is and what we're doing, that could change what that looks like. But the energy will be aligned to that. And there is this idea, as you say, of surrendering the ego, to surrender the absolute depth of the unconscious of what's trying to come within me. Where can I have the greatest possible degree of impact? You know, where can I have the greatest possible degree of impact and differ from what we think we want? When what the greatest possible impact we might have might be something a little bit different. And so it is constantly surrendering the ego into that kind of thread of truth at the deepest possible layer of the unconscious. But when we do, that's when flow and levity comes. That's when more ease comes into our space, because we've surrendered the ego and just allowed that deepest possible thread of truth, of the divine, of the unconscious to live through us. And that's where we become in this place of divine service.
Yes, the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely profound. Profound guidance. This podcast has been profound guidance. I hope you guys who are listening are finding this as important as I am. Finally, Jamie, can you share a little bit about guiding people through shadow work and shadow healing, and maybe share some details of your course, how people can find you online, your Instagram channel, and any parting messages for our beautiful listeners out there?
Yeah, so I have I call it the Anti-Shadow Work Program that's launching in early June. So I'm not sure when this podcast is going to come out. We're right in April here. But it starts June 3rd is, I believe, the date that I have. And it's basically going to be an 8-week kind of hybrid program where it will be a combination of transmission teaching content that they'll receive every week, as well as a weekly 2-hour session where I'm going to work with people live on the spot, as well as do teaching and different channeling and transmissions based off that week's material. And the idea with this program is taking people who they've done their due process with the shadow and they're trying to step into the light and they're having a little bit of trouble crossing that bridge. It's kind of a program on the energetics of joy, freedom, ease, levity. And it's going to be cover things such as joy in the nervous system. How do we actually hold the frequency of joy? It's going to be about the frequency of movement is the frequency of joy. It's going to be about the energetic exposure of our power. I'm going to cover things, energetics of allowance, which we talked a little bit about the crown, the energetics of belonging, which I call the face, which is a lot of our early attachment. So it's going to be 8 weeks, 8 sessions for both men and women who are sick and fucking tired of shadow work, feel like they've done their dark night, and want to step into the frequency of their light. And so I have that upcoming. And the work that I do with people is very much this divine embodiment, this, you know, how do we step into the pathway of the divine, which is really the pathway of movement. And so I work with people one-on-one. I have this program upcoming. So if anyone feels called to step out of the shadow in their own life and feels ready to occupy the light, I have that upcoming. And the best way for them to find me right now is my Instagram channel, which I know you're going to put in the call notes, so they can find them there. And parting words, I'm going to bring it back to stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out. I know it's going to feel painstakingly difficult at times, but when you stop trying to figure it out, what's happening is you're making this admission that you're trusting something deeper. You're trusting your body. You're trusting the process, and ultimately you're trusting the divine. Because when you're in your head trying to figure it out, what you're ultimately to the divine is, I don't trust you. When we're trying to figure it out in the head, what we're ultimately saying to the divine is, I don't trust you. Guess what's going to happen? Our crown chakra is going to be totally blocked.
Absolutely spot on. I'm telling you guys, this is the truth. Jamie is spitting the truth. I have experienced this myself because I've done this to myself. When you keep trying to figure things out and ask the question over and over again, you're saying to the divine, I don't trust you.
Yeah. And the divine, and your reality, yeah. And your reality is going to represent that. Your reality is going to represent one of fear. Your reality is going to represent one of the divine is not going to work for you. The divine is going to continue to bring more challenges to you because you aren't listening. You aren't listening. And so the crown chakra is blocked. We're in a space of fear. But when we begin to get out of our head, I'm not going to try and figure it out. We allow. The crown opens because we're telling the divine, I trust you. I have faith in your process. And the reality that will be put in front of us will be one that will resemble that depth of trust and that allowance of trust.
Incredible. If you have been as inspired as I have by listening to this podcast, please check out Jamie's Instagram page, which is jamie.n.ray, spelled R-E-A, and you will find all of his amazing, incredible writing and teachings available very generously, Jamie. I must say, very generously, all your teachings you have made available, and these are deep, profound, you know, energetics of spirituality, truly available for free. So please, guys, check him out. Soak up this page, soak up this wisdom, save some of these posts for the times where it's getting challenging and you need to remind yourself, you know, share these with your friends, because you don't know whose life is going to change. And yeah, I just hope that you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, and that you've taken some things away, maybe made some notes for yourself, and don't try to figure too much stuff out, Jamie said. We're all on the path of liberation. Let's not think about anything, guys. Let's just go with the flow.
Do less. Put the pen down.
Let's make a promise to ourselves for this week to do less. We're all in this together. We're sailing this ocean together. Let's not try too hard to tax our brains, to figure out too much. Let's take this as an experiment, an invitation to experiment with doing less, trusting more, and going with this flow without needing to know where it's going to take us. Let's just go a little bit with the flow. So, Jamie, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for being so honest in this space. And for being so daring and bold. And if you're interested in exploring Jamie's course, please check it out. I have a shadow work course as well, which is available at the School of Healing Alchemy. You can check that out as well. And I hope that this won't be the last podcast that we do together, because I think we've got lots more to what did they say? What's the saying when you chew the something? I don't know, old English sayings. You can tell I'm not very good at.
I've never, if it's an English saying, I definitely have no idea.
Anyway, we've got lots more that we can talk about, really, and we can dissect and bring some light to, and bring some laughter to.
Yes, I love that. Bring some laughter to it. It's so important for such important medicine on this journey, because it can be pretty dense. Safi, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me here. This is definitely not the last time that we're going to be in the space, connecting, collaborating, and creating. And, you know, you and I will see one another in Morocco, right?
100%. Guys, watch this space. We're planning something awesome in Morocco. The land of Morocco is calling us, and is calling you perhaps for some energetics, initiation, and healing work.
Direct. Yeah, here we go.
Spirit in the desert. So watch this space. We love you all, and see you on the next one.
Thanks so much.
Amazing. Jamie.